Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us today comes from the gospel reading that you just heard, taken from Matthew chapter 5. As you may suspect, this is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at for the past couple of weeks now. And so Jesus picks up in the fifth chapter with what you see. And you may want to have your bulletin open to the gospel reading today. Friends in Christ, as a public service announcement, especially to husbands and boyfriends out there, it's almost Valentine's Day. So I've done my part now to hopefully promote peace. Valentine's Day is a day that we traditionally associate with love in all of its forms, but most especially the romantic form of love. For some reason, one thing that sticks in my mind about Valentine's Day, almost more than anything, is being a kid and growing up in my little Lutheran school. The way that it was handled as far as the distribution of Valentines was concerned is that if you wanted to give a Valentine to someone, you had to give one to everyone. And so when the day came, we had either lunch bags with little hearts on them or even shoe boxes that you had decorated with hearts and cupids and so forth, and everyone brought in a Valentine for everyone. And I remember that that filled me with abject fear. The reason being, I didn't want any of the girls in my class to get the wrong idea. And I was afraid that if I dropped one in so-and-so's box, they might start thinking, he might like me. So Valentine's Day was never really my favorite. There's a big difference between giving a Valentine to everyone in your class because the teacher said you have to, and then when you reach that magical stage where you really want to give a Valentine, but not to everyone, but to that one special someone, and you put an awful lot of thought and hope into what that Valentine's going to look like, and what's it going to say, and what's it going to mean to the one who receives it. All of which makes today's gospel lesson a rather strange one to be considering in the shadow of Valentine's Day. It seems to be absolutely jam-packed with law. And it's not law that Jesus comes along and relaxes. Jesus isn't interested in letting us off the hook in this reading, is he? If anything, he intensifies each statement of law that is given. Starting with the first, he says, "You've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you have anger in your heart towards your brother, you're murdering him that way too." Wow. Jesus is applying the pressure, not easing the pressure. And we continue through each one of these. He says, "You've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I say to you, if you even look at a woman with lustful intent in your heart, it's the same thing." That's adultery too. He's not easing it. He's applying the pressure. Same with divorce. Jesus says, "You want easy divorce?" He says the same thing about swearing falsely. He says, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't bring God into it. Not if you don't have to. Jesus is saying, among other things, and he's saying a lot here. It's actually so rich of a passage, we don't nearly have time to get into all the dimensions of it. But he's claiming an authority to say that sin is not just an outward action. Sin stems from an inner reality. And it's worse than you think. And that makes us really uncomfortable. No, Jesus doesn't come along and ease up on the law today, but there's a really good reason why. He doesn't come to throw the law away. That was never Jesus' mission. Jesus doesn't come to toss the law aside. He comes to fulfill it. He comes to do it perfectly. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13, verse 11, that love is the fulfillment of the law. You see, what Jesus is able to do, what he was able to do, what he is able to do, that no one else can, is live the full dimensions of the law, to get it all right, every bit of it, because he wants to. He wants to. See, we react to God's law. We react to what Jesus says here today, like school kids who have to give a Valentine to everyone in the class because the teacher said so. We don't want to get in trouble. Or in other words, I've gotta. Teacher says, I've gotta. So I'm going to put a Valentine even in her box. That's how we react, isn't it? That's our gut reaction to when we hear Jesus speak this way. You mean I've got to deal with my anger towards people? You mean I've got to deal honestly with the lust that burns in my heart at times? That I have to be a person of integrity? Come on, Jesus. Why is that? Why do we have this reaction as we do? Well, the Bible would tell us it's because we're by nature sinful and unclean, right? But there's another way to think of that. There's a way to think of what that sin really is. And it's a very intriguing idea. It's because our loves are disordered. Our loves are disordered. What does that mean? Well, remember, love is the fulfillment of the law. And even in today's Old Testament reading, you heard God wanting us to live His law, but also to love Him. If we are against God's laws, if in our hearts we harbor some resentment against His ways, that means we love something more than the law. Right? We love something more than our neighbor. We love something more than the one who gave the law. And more often than not, that something is me. You can apply this to each of the things that Jesus mentions. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever goes around calling other people a fool will be subject to the lake of fire. What's the disordered love there? It's a person who loves being right more than they love anything else. They love pointing out the foolishness of others. That's a disordered love. I say to you, anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Disordered love. What is it? That person loves the thought of pleasure more than they love what God has said, more than they love their spouse. The married relationship. All kinds of disordered loves can enter into married relationships and cause tremendous difficulty. When I am loving myself most, that makes it extremely difficult to put somebody else's needs ahead of my own. And someone who would swear falsely, someone who would use God's name in order to buttress their argument in a social setting, has disordered loves. They love their own reputation more than they love the name of God. You see how this works and how deeply it turns the mirror on our hearts? Okay, you're talking about disordered loves. Well, what's the right order? Great question. The Bible has a great answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When God is your one true love, you will be able to love your neighbor. It's not that you'll have less love for your neighbor if you love God first. You'll actually have more. That's what we have such a hard time believing. But when God is your one true love, you will be able to love your spouse in exactly the right way. Again, you won't have less love for spouse, you'll have more when God is first. But here's the question. When it comes to a relationship with God, how do you move over from gotta do it to want to do it? How do you move over from got to put the Valentine in the box to I can't wait to give this love letter to my beloved? Turn your eyes on Jesus. That's it. Remember, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus did not come to abolish the law and throw it out the window. He came to fulfill it. What does that mean? It means he lived a perfectly ordered life under the law, not because he had to, but because he loved his Father. It means he gave that perfectly ordered life as a sacrificial offering to cleanse you and me, not because he had to, but because he loves you and wants you to be with him. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now seated at the right hand of God's throne." Did you hear that? Because of the joy that was waiting for him, he endured the cross. What joy made the cross worth it for Jesus? The joy of bringing you over from death to life. The joy of adopting you. The joy of forgiving you. He's not giving you a little Valentine because he has to, because anyone is twisting his arm. He's giving Himself to you because you are His passion. The cross is His love letter to you. This love can melt your heart. The more you dwell on the fact that Jesus wanted to for you, the more you will want to for Him. This love makes you want to try to work for reconciliation, to be the one to make themselves vulnerable and take the first step to repair a relationship. This love makes you want to be faithful to your spouse. This love makes you want to be a person of integrity because you see the wisdom in it. You're able to love God and accept His ways because you know that He loves and accepts you. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, You've given us Your law. And in this reading today, Jesus doesn't ease the law, He ramps it up. And that can leave us feeling very lost and alone, incapable of pleasing You. Remind us today that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And having fulfilled it perfectly, to offer that as the sacrifice for us. In other words, that counts. That goes on our record. Jesus' perfection is what we wear daily by faith. And Lord, when we know that that is true, when we know the lengths to which Jesus went to show us His love, we can begin to return that love to You and to do things for You, not because we have to, not because we are being forced to against our will, but because we love You and we want to respond to that quality of love that You have shown to us. Bless us in this manner through Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.